On today's episode of the Natty Boys podcast, we discuss the sad state of football in Ohio. We discuss some of the hottest topics from week two of the college football season, including is Brian Kelly still an asshole? Spoiler alert, the answer is yes. With the NFL season finally getting underway, we discuss some of the bigger items from week one, including updates on the Ezekiel Elliott suspension case and Los Angeles Rams attendance issues. We wrap things up discussing Lonzo Ball's hottest rap track that he just laid down for his brother's shoes, which leads to a debate on whether we'd prefer to be an athlete that embarrasses themselves musically or a musician that embarrasses themselves athletically. Turns out there's not too much of a debate there. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
All right, and welcome to the Natty Boys Podcast. Today is Tuesday, September 12th, and football in Ohio is dead.
Rough weekend for anybody in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, football sucks.
Yeah, can we stop being fans now? Yeah. Is it basketball season yet? Hockey season?
Hockey soon.
24 days.
Yeah, I saw Woody had the countdown on Twitter.
22 days.
22 days. Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
So yeah, the I don't think a single Ohio team that we care about won, and some that we don't even care about, like the Browns, they ended up losing too. We'll get into some football stuff later, but we'll get into the NFL later. We'll start off with the UC Michigan game from Saturday at noon. The Bearcats, they actually kept up with Michigan in the first half.
Yeah,
but some of the clock management in that game just made my head hurt. I don't know what Luke Fickell was doing out there on a lot of those calls.
And that was one of my biggest concerns coming into the season. I had spoken with Witty about this, and he's an Ohio State fan, and my only knowledge of Luke Fickell as a head coach is that year at Ohio State, and he always looked overwhelmed. He always looked like he was looking for answers that weren't there to be found. And then, you know, He was thrown into a Big Ten job for his first head coaching gig, not at a storied program. So, you know, benefit of the doubt, he probably was a little overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw the same issues this past Saturday where calling timeouts and I don't even remember some of the head scratchers now because I feel
right
like it was an eternity.
There was the whole not kicking the field goal thing going on. Like, it just took him way too long to make that decision.
Yep.
Hayden Moore didn't look great during the game. He threw two pick sixes, I think, and he was very inaccurate on a lot of his balls.
Right.
And even with all these issues, you know, UC stuck in the game until close to the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got bailed out by a couple stopping Michigan once they stalled out in their in Cincinnati's end of the field, and a couple turnovers by Michigan. Michigan looked really sloppy. It was hard to say how much of it was UC playing above their level of compete and how much of it was Michigan just playing down to UC and getting sloppy.
Michigan's garbage. But, I mean, Fickell should have known that he wasn't just going to walk in here and sprinkle fairy dust on the team and just act like they've arrived. So, he's got his work cut out for him. But I ultimately think Fickell will be good for UC. He did kind of have sort of that sort of spastic feel, like, oh shit, like what do I do right now?
What do I do here? Yeah,
but I think that'll kind of go away at time as he gets used to the program and he can settle in and get some of his guys in there. I mean, that doesn't really impact any of the clock management stuff, obviously. But
something I didn't expect to touch on until Witty talked about the sprinkling fairy dust on the current players. How long until Urban lashes out at Luke Fickell unprompted?
I know. Yeah, I don't really know where that came from when he was getting on Tom Herman about that. Yeah. It just seemed like it seemed unnecessary. Like, just do your own thing. You know, focus on all that prep work that you obviously put into the game against Oklahoma, and don't worry about what Tom Herman's doing down there in Texas. Like,
it kind of made me think that he was like pissed off that Herman left, or maybe they have some weird relationship that, you know, that, that we don't know about.
That's one thing I thought of too, is I don't know if he, if maybe he thinks Urban was, and this could be a conversation. It wasn't like Tressel, even though there was that terrible season with Luke Fickell, it wasn't like the cupboard was left necessarily bare. Urban came in with a pretty good team and a lot of good recruits, and a school like Ohio State kind of recruits itself no matter who the coach is.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he thought that was a veiled shot at Urban, when in reality he probably was just talking about, things weren't great when I got here, I'm not going to walk in and turn this into a perennial contender.
Right.
Every single season, it's going to take some time. And Urban just thought, maybe Urban thought he was calling him out and saying, hey, I didn't get it as easy as Urban did.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess I don't know what actually prompted Urban to say that. I don't know if he was asked a question that he responded to. But I saw a little bit more about that, and I guess Urban more or less said what you said, where he came in and didn't complain about kind of the state of things that Tressel left things in, which really, if you wanted to complain about the state that anybody left it in, you should have complained about Fickell. but obviously, I mean, with what Fickell came in, that, I mean, that team wasn't going to win anything. I think Fickell was kind of doomed from the start with his year at Ohio State, and then Urban kind of came in and turned things around after I think some of the other talented guys kind of had come up. So I think Fickell just was in a bad spot, but yeah, like if anybody has any gripe there, it's probably Luke.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's about all the Ohio State news we have for the weekend, right?
Yep. All right. So what else we got in college football?
So what happened against Oklahoma? I know Barrett didn't look very good.
No, nobody looked good. And I don't want to take away from Oklahoma, but I do just because I'm bitter. But I mean, Oklahoma's obviously a great team. I mean, I think after this performance that they're probably going to be one of your four college football finalists unless they stumble down the road. And I mean, the Big 12 is not as big as, you know, the SEC or the ACC or even the Big 10. But
or the AAC.
Well, I mean, I thought that
Power
was
Six.
What I was saying, but still, the Big 12, I mean, they've got some tough teams, and there's always a chance that they could stumble. So, you know, who knows? But, I mean, the way Baker Mayfield played.
I hate the way he acts on the field, but, man, looks like he's the real deal.
Yeah, he drives me nuts on the field. And I didn't want to be the one that said that because, again, I felt like it would more just come off as me sounding bitter.
Yeah,
but
I'll say it.
Yeah, I don't really like how he conducts himself. I think he's a little bit of a kind of a douche, but whatever. He's a hell of a quarterback, and I won't take that away from him. I think based in, and again, it's too early to really make these kind of calls, but just based on that, I'd say he's got to be the front runner for the Heisman right now.
I hate how small his jersey is.
Yeah,
It's not even like a crop top.
You shouldn't be able to see the midriff on a guy like that.
And it's not even it's not in his pants are tiny too. It's not like it's a crop top like where they hem it and like he pulls it up or whatever. You can just tell he literally squeezed into the smallest jersey he could find, and the pants are the same way. So the pants were riding down and the jersey was riding up.
Yep.
I mean, you're at UO. That is a storied program. You need to look professional. You need to.
Yeah. Exactly. From the on the Buckeye side of things, they just didn't play well on any side of the ball. I mean, the defense wasn't covering people. They weren't getting pressure on the quarterback. So you leave a guy like Baker Mayfield to have that much time to throw and leave his receivers that wide open, he's going to pick you apart. And he did pick them apart. And he picked them apart in the first half, too. They just happened to kind of step up where it counted and held them to a field goal in the first half, but it was only a matter of time before he just went loose and just started tearing them up. And I think their first five drives in the second half, they scored touchdowns on four of them, so that obviously caught up to him.
So with Baker Mayfield being able to kind of do what he wanted against this, what we've heard is supposed to be one of the best defensive lines in college football. Do you think that that's, you know, is that Ohio State maybe being overhyped, or is that Oklahoma's line doing a hell of a job?
I mean, some of it may be Oklahoma's line. Some of it might be Ohio State being overhyped, and some of it might be Ohio State underperforming. I mean, look at the first half against Indiana. It was kind of the same story. Now, granted, Indiana had such a fast, up-tempo offense that there really wasn't much time to get things done. So I think some of that was on the secondary in that game because they weren't covering guys long enough to give them a shot. This time, I mean, they had more time, but they still weren't getting to the quarterback. I think Oklahoma's line, I mean, they had a lot of big boys there, and I think they had some probably some future NFLers on that line, if I had to guess. But
yeah,
I think they did a good job, but it kind of remains to be seen what the reality is for the Buckeyes' defensive line.
I think another thing that led to the tale of two halves in this game was whatever they did at halftime for Baker Mayfield, because he wasn't doing a great job scrambling like he normally does, but he was cramping up a lot and having issues.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he got fluids and got IVs, so that I don't think he really had that issue in the second half at all, right?
No.
So it almost wonders if they knew that was an issue early in the first half, like in the first quarter maybe, isn't it worth losing a series of him? Because that other guy that came in, I don't know anything about him, but he moved well. I don't know if they gave him a chance to throw it all, but he had a couple plays where he extended the drive while Baker had to come out to get stretched.
Yep.
You almost want to give away a series to get him in the locker room, get his fluids, get whatever treatment he needed, bring him back out, and then they might not have been so, I guess, two different offenses. But I had the same questions as DB with whether or not the defensive line, if it's a product of good Oklahoma scheme and good Oklahoma offensive line, or if maybe they were overhyped at the time. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah, so do I.
So if you're looking for positive takeaways from this game, I would throw out there that Dobbins looks like the real deal.
Yep, and Nuremberger did well. That's about it.
Yeah. It was okay to see your boy Weber Jr. back out there, although at one point he kind of grabbed his hammy again, like something was going on with it. I don't think he's 100%.
It was like after the first big run he had, he grabbed his hammy. He was like, oh, well, there it is. Like that.
Yeah, and I think the two of them combined for like 15 carries for just over 100 yards. So
was that it?
I think the fault is all around here for the Buckeyes. I think on the offensive side of the ball, I think they played poorly. I think the receivers still couldn't get open. When they did, Barrett couldn't hit him. He wasn't reading well.
One of them dropped a touchdown right through his hands.
The play calling wasn't very good either. I felt like some of the, you know, I just questioned kind of what they were doing for a lot of the times, which that was a problem I felt like they had last year.
Yeah.
Indiana, but last year too, and I thought that getting Kevin Wilson in there from Indiana as the offensive coordinator was supposed to kind of correct that, but I'm not seeing that at this point. So it's still early. The Buckeyes could very easily get into the playoffs still if they run the table and win the Big Ten. But
yeah, there's plenty of time to recover from this.
Yeah.
They're a top five team. It's not like this is a bad loss.
But I don't feel like Ohio State played like the number two team in the country. Yeah, I think if they play like this the rest of the year, I don't think they win the Big Ten. I think they drop a couple more games. So they've got a lot of work to do. Luckily, they've got some pretty easy opponents coming up so they can work on things. But I don't know. I'm not impressed with what I'm seeing from this team so far this year.
Switching over to the lighter side of the news.
Yeah.
There was a play in the Louisiana Tech game today, or no, Saturday, where it was very comical to watch. Just the defense trying to pick up a fumble.
Yeah,
and they kept like kicking it, and no one could get their hands on it. And then finally, a Louisiana Tech guy jumps on it down like in the inside the 10-yard line, of his own 10-yard line.
Yeah, so it ended up being an 87-yard loss on that play, which
that's
like the one of those things where that you see in like video games where you're like trying to just kill the clock,
so
you run straight backwards. Like I couldn't even picture a scenario where you could even get an 87-yard loss. So I saw the video and saw this the guys
how
kind
it
of
happened.
Booting it, trying to pick it up, and it was like your classic bloopers reel video, and I just felt like there was going to be that like
the Benny Hill theme song.
Yeah, exactly.
After that second down play, it made it third and 93.
Yeah.
Well, and when I saw that there was a third and goal from their own 7-yard line.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, there was probably a scenario where someone recovered a fumble, ran it back, it got fumbled again, they picked up, but then it would have reset
that,
the...
Yeah, so that changes possession. So then
I was like,
so.
That's when I was trying to figure out, like, well, how did this actually happen? And then I...
Yeah.
Then there was a game break and they kicked over to it, and I was like, okay, that is exactly what you see, in, like you said, in all those blooper reels.
So third and 93, or third and goal from the 7, from the other 7, what are you guys running? I'm thinking draw, right?
Oh, it's got to be.
I forget what they ran, but they got like 30 yards back, didn't they?
I didn't actually see what they ended up running.
I can't remember if they ran a draw or if it was like a little screen pass type of play or something, but for some reason, maybe I'm mixing up. I watched so much football in the last 2 days, but I'm pretty sure that they got like 30 some yards of that back.
I don't know if it's ever happened or not, but I would love to see a team be whatever and goal and give up a safety.
That would be awesome. That would have been awesome.
So Brian Kelly's an asshole.
Yeah.
I feel like we kind of already knew that Brian Kelly was an asshole, though. It's not like you're breaking news with that. You know, with his press conference after Notre Dame, it was a loss, right? I didn't watch any of the Notre Dame game.
They lost to Georgia.
Yeah, but he's just he's so unbearable. He's an asshole. That's kind of the only way to describe him.
Yeah, and... I mean, I've always been anti-Brian Kelly since he left Cincinnati. I talked about that in my blog earlier this morning. I grew up rooting for the Irish, and as soon as he left for Notre Dame, I was like, I hope they lose every single game. Just in the manner he left. I've got no problem guys taking different jobs, but the way he did it was bad.
Right. I mean, if you're Cincinnati in the Notre Dame, you get offered the Notre Dame job. You're obviously leaving Cincinnati for that job. You can't blame him for that, but the way he did it is shitty.
Or like when you're at Ohio State and you go to the Notre Dame job. That's...
That wouldn't happen.
No. I know. I always loved that rumor that Urban Meyer is going to go to Notre Dame, or I forget where else they said Urban Meyer was rumored to go back to it or go to at some point. It's like,
I think he's coming to UC after Fickell, though.
I'm pretty sure this is the destination for Urban. He's done after Ohio State, one way or the other.
He can't even beat Oklahoma. Let him go.
No, but so Brian Kelly got not really into it with the reporter. He just was being a dick to the reporter, asking him, how is this loss going to be different? You say you change things. How's this loss going to be different than the losses you suffered last year in final possessions, or where one loss turned into a string of bad losses? And he just wasn't having it. Like, he was not letting her get to her question, but asking why she wasn't getting to her question. Then she said, you know, this was a one possession game. And he said, well, no, this is a 1-point game.
Yeah.
And, like, that's essentially the same thing. Like, this
one possession is one point. Or 1 point is one possession.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure no matter what you do, any scoring play is going to result in a victory, no matter how it comes. So.
Right.
And then he stormed off the podium. So,
I saw some crowd shots from this game. That was down in Athens, Georgia, right?
You would have thought. You would have thought. Yeah, I saw at one point it was estimated that as much as 40% of the stadium was filled with Georgia fans.
That's pretty impressive that they can travel like that.
Yeah,
but it also sucks that South Bend has that many seats that people are willing to sell to Georgia fans.
And I think that a lot of the Notre Dame ticket holders do that, where you're not going to have that same thing with, you know, like the Army and all the teams that they play every year. But if you get a team that's a storied program that's going to South Bend for maybe one of the few times in their history, or there was some stat on how long it had been since they played there.
Yeah.
Then I could see where a lot of, because Georgia doesn't necessarily have a massive national fan base, so there's a lot of people making a trip up there. So I mean, it's I think a lot of the Notre Dame ticket holders, they sell these games knowing that they're going to be able to get good value out of their seats. I didn't think that almost half of the seats would be filled by Georgia fans, but
yeah.
But yeah, it was funny to see the crowd shots of literally just like red everywhere.
Yeah, it was like a sea of red, and it's like, that's not something you usually see in Notre Dame. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they've got Army up next. Because I was looking ahead at the schedule trying to figure out what game was going to officially put Brian Kelly on the hot seat. and I couldn't find the right game because USC, they know they're going to lose that game this year.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be one or two bad losses throughout the year that put them on the hot seat. But as a sports empire right now, we're going to go ahead and break the news that Brian Kelly got fired. We're not going to say when it is. We don't know.
Please
when
credit
it's
the
happen.
Natty Boys and Mill Iron Sports.
You will have to credit us because we said it first. So, Brian Kelly out at Notre Dame.
Yeah, and then he'll come back to UC.
Fuck him. No. I think Brian Kelly. I think he'll take a year off. He'll try to be likable on TV. And then he'll take some random job like Utah or something like that. Like yeah. I feel like that's his next step. He's going to go on the Charlie Weiss tour. Where I don't even know where Charlie Weiss bounced around to, but then he was... I don't even think he's in football anymore, but he's getting paid buku bucks still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wish I was a college football coach. I would just suck so I could get fired and make all my money.
I know. Not have to do anything.
Show up to ESPN once a week and talk about... That time that you upset, you know, Georgia Tech or something like that. Oh, yeah. I guess nobody that beats Georgia Tech's an upset anymore. But
I think Tuberville's doing games now. He got assigned to a really shitty game, so I don't think he's going to be very successful at it.
Yeah.
Something that we didn't have on the docket today was Tony Romo taking over for for game calling on the sides.
Yeah.
And him and Phil Simms had a really awkward interaction on TV today. Where, you know, because he took Phil Simms' job,
right,
and
right.
Phil Simms is now in studio. Mm-hmm. So, like, Phil Simms was talking to Romo, and I think Simms tried to make it awkward for the comedy's sake.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, hey, Tony, you know, like, kind of being like, you know, you fucking assholes, you're stealing my job. And Tony kind of, I mean, he played it off well, but it was still, like, a really awkward interaction that they had on live TV, so...
Which game did he do?
I don't know which game he was assigned to. The only local game that I had on was the Bengals game.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that was a travesty.
Yeah, that could not have gone any worse.
So all the Natty Boys are obviously Cincinnati Bengals fans, and that was one of the worst opening games that we've seen in the Marvin Lewis era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were terrible. And... we've kind of given shit to the people that kind of call for Dalton's head and say you need to get AJ McCarron in there. And I still don't think that's the right answer, but Dalton did not play well.
No.
He gave up four picks and he lost a fumble. Not all of the picks were necessarily his fault, but, you know, when you're saying he threw four picks, but only two or three of them were really his fault, that's still bad. That's bad, so... I definitely think he didn't play well. I don't think this means he needs to be replaced, but he needs to improve. I think that's kind of the story we have with all of the Ohio teams we've talked about so far is they need to improve in a lot of places or get somebody in who's going to get the job done.
The offensive line looked disastrous.
Yeah.
They couldn't keep any of the Ravens players off of Andy. Suggs looked like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
Suggs
looked like old Suggs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy, he really struggled.
He's not good. Like he's just not good. Like I know that he was a high draft pick and they were excited about him. And then he was not ready and had injuries and not ready. I forget why his progression has been delayed so many different times, but, yeah, he got dominated, and they weren't doing anything with their running backs to try to help him. They could have very easily thrown a running back in there just to chip somebody coming off the edge.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or just to kind of to freeze that D lineman that you don't know what's going to happen here. But they were just doing whatever they wanted to on his on his side of the line.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the whole offensive line. I don't think I saw one moment where I was like, oh, that was a really – like that stat that one of the Bengals beat writers with Kathleen Turrell, is that her name, DB?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kat Terrell,
Kat Terrell. She, I saw that she had tweeted and you had responded. Joe Mixon, I think he was only averaging 0.1 yard before contact.
Before contact.
Yeah.
So he was barely getting to the line of scrimmage before he got hit.
Right.
So he ended up 8 carries for 9 yards.
Was in the backfield.
Yeah.
All day.
Maybe he's just not hitting the hole right.
Maybe. So Mixon only had 8 or 9 carries, you know, after all that we've heard about him. He didn't have a fantastic debut. Hill looked okay.
Yeah.
He looked like he got hurt.
Giovanni
at one
looked
point.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, Gio looked good. Hill looked like he got banged up on one of his carries.
Yeah, someone kind of rolled up on his legs awkwardly a little bit. And you did kind of get some insight into how they're gonna handle this running back situation. I guess I never look at what the actual final carries were, but they seem to spread it around fairly evenly. So I don't know if that's going to be their plan going forward, if they're going to keep doing that until someone emerges as the kind of clear number one. But
who's man's?
Yeah, exactly. Who's man's?
Yeah, until someone establishes themselves as the star running back.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're going to see. You might see guys used in different scenarios a little differently still. I know they like Mixon and Gio for getting into the passing game a little bit. Mixon can kind of do it all. As much as I hate Mixon for what he is off the field, or was off the field, he almost seems like the perfect hybrid between Jeremy Hill and Gio.
Yeah.
So
he's got that pass catching ability, and he's a power back.
Yeah. It's like the old Earth, Wind, and Fire the Giants had 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Looking at some of the stats, you know, AJ Green had like 70 yards.
Yeah.
But
a lot of them were on that one play.
Yeah, most of them were on one long play. And, it's like they weren't even out there most of the time.
Yeah.
No one was a threat on offense, and that's because Dalton didn't have a ton of time to throw the ball, and when he did, he was inaccurate.
Yep, and that's Cody Core got loose twice where he was wide open, touchdowns, both of them.
Yep.
And they were both bad throws.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, a lot of the bad throws were because Dalton was – literally
rushed, right?
Rushed, yeah. But you still had to make those throws.
Yep.
Eifert was non-existent.
Yeah.
I think I saw him out there a couple times, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And not a lot to look forward to. The I guess the good/bad news is that they have four days off before the Thursday night game against the Texans.
Yeah.
Didn't look that great themselves either.
That's true. Jacksonville kind of put it on them, which is a surprise because Jacksonville is supposed to be terrible this year.
Mm-hmm.
I know our boy Uncle Chaps is probably sipping on some bourbon being happy right now, but Jacksonville wasn't supposed to be anything, and they put it, 26-7 I think was the final in Jacksonville.
And
In
Houston.
In Houston.
Yeah. And that's how I thought that this emotion was going to work in one of two ways for the Texans this week. I thought they were either going to come out and win, just destroy Jacksonville, which is what I would have assumed was going to happen. That's what I picked to happen. But there's the other side of the coin where they've been exhausted emotionally and physically with everything they've been doing.
Yeah.
All the relief stuff they've been working with. All the emotional, probably the media has probably never been so Houston-centric as far as they probably had more people in their locker room this week than they usually do, covering all the J.J. Watt cool stuff he's been doing, and then the rest of the team helping out, the cameras everywhere. They were probably just exhausted, and the football game was probably the last thing on their minds all week long, and I think you saw that today on the field, so...
they'll be coming to Cincinnati Thursday night.
Yeah.
We'll see how that game goes with the Bengals. I'm hoping that it's good to have this short week so early in the season that the guys aren't going to be drained by the time that it happens. Right. So
in this, it's a quick reset that it gets the bad taste out of your mouth if they come out and
hopefully,
and I know my predictions are never wrong because I take both sides no matter what. It's a little pro tip for everyone out there.
Yes, it's smart.
I could see the Bengals losing this game like 16-3 and just never getting their offense going still. Or I can see them just coming out guns blazing and just, putting up 42 on Houston.
I don't think anybody comes out guns blazing on Thursday night games. Those always seem to be just
that's true.
Bad football games. So I think we're going to be looking at like a 19-16 final score.
And with Houston, you never know what's going to happen either. Cincinnati should be calling Houston daddy. Like, I feel like I can't remember the last time they beat Houston.
When they were the Oilers, Houston Oilers.
Eddie George's rookie year.
Yeah.
So one of the questions that I asked, I was watching the game with my cousin today. We had the Red Zone channel on, and Tom Savage was the QB at the beginning of the game. And I was like, how long until, Savage is benched and we see Deshaun Watson? Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, hopefully it's after the Bengals game. Yeah. But he only lasted one half before Deshaun Watson got thrown to the Wolves.
Yep, I saw he was in.
And I think I saw somewhere where Bill O'Brien had said that they brought Watson in kind of as the kind of to spark the offense, kind of get something new in there. So it didn't necessarily sound like he was definitively saying Watson's our guy going forward. So I don't know if we see Savage on Thursday night, if we see Watson on Thursday night, if we see both on Thursday night.
Yeah. Maybe something really cool we've never even heard about.
Yeah. So I'd be interested to see what happens, but I think Watson looked okay. I mean, he actually scored for for Houston, which Savage wasn't able to do. So, I don't know. I mean, that's a team that's kind of been the one question for them for the past couple of years is, you know, who's going to be their quarterback, because they've always had a great defense, and they've typically had a fairly good running game too, but they just haven't had somebody to throw the ball, and it's kind of been their Achilles heel.
You know, one thing I'm really looking forward to for that Thursday night game, though, is how massive the club J.J. Watt's going to wear on his hand is going to be. Because you know he's going to be that type of guy that he's going to put a frying pan on the back of his hand and have him tape it up so everyone knows that he's got a hand injury.
Yeah, that was a truly cringeworthy, hearing him describe his finger that got hurt today in the game. That was very painful.
I kind of lost some respect for J.J. Watt after this because, I mean, if you were a real man, he would just pull Ronnie Lott and have the finger cut off. But no, he had to have it all wrapped up, and now he's going to have that lingering injury. Like, just man up, hack it off, and go about your business.
Yep.
Did they say which finger it was of his that he broke?
I didn't hear. I'm sure they've said, but I didn't hear.
Yeah, he's going to be out there looking like Anthony Munoz.
Yep.
Yeah.
I saw that the bone was poking through at some point. Ugh. Yeah, that doesn't sound fun.
So getting back to like Ohio, our Ohio misery, you know, we have a couple friends up in Cleveland, but fuck them. And the Browns today got their ass whipped by the Steelers. And actually the Browns stuck with it a little bit.
The score, I mean, it ended up being a 3-point game, but
yeah,
it was like literally got, the Bengals they Ravens.
They got physically abused by the Steelers.
Right. Yeah.
So many cheap shots in that game. It reminded me of the Mean Machine playing against the guards. it was rough. It was
even J.J. Watt's like little brother was getting in on some of the dirty hits. Yeah, and I don't know his name, but I will always just call him J.J. Watt's little brother.
I was gonna say that's what he's gonna be forever known as around the NFL, just J.J. Watt's brother. I think that's what it says on the back of his jersey too.
Yep,
it says Watt, and then parentheses it says J.J.'s brother.
But, yeah, I mean, he had a couple plays that were questionable with spearing. Shazier tried to rip off Kaiser's head when he when he was sliding and give himself up. And I think those hits were ridiculous, but the most ridiculous thing about it was seeing on Twitter all the Pittsburgh fans trying to defend those hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're like, well, he was sliding, and he decided to slide too late. That's his fault for sliding late. Like, well, no, he was giving himself up. It's the player. It's the defensive player's responsibility to pull up and not hit him.
Right.
And then on the one where T.J. Watt speared, I forget who it was that was getting tackled.
I think it was the Kaiser.
Was it Kaiser?
I think it was Kaiser again. Also, yeah.
He justified it like, well, he didn't actually hit Kaiser. He ended up hitting his own guy. Like, it doesn't mean he wasn't trying to hit Kaiser. Yeah. He went in with the crown of his helmet. And I think he did hit Kaiser, but he also hit the other guy that was rolling over on Kaiser. Yeah. It was typical Steelers horse shit that they always get away with. And I'll say it because Hefe's not here to say it. And I don't like to say this because I usually don't like to play this card. But these are the types of hits that Vontaze Burfict and a couple other Bengals of the past would have been suspended for, and we're probably not going to hear one word about it from the league on these Steelers hits.
Right. I've kind of said it before. I feel like Burfict is like the epitome of Steelers football.
Oh, yeah. He'd fit in perfect.
Yeah. He plays just on the wrong side of that line of what's legal and what's illegal, what's clean and what's dirty. And somehow they generally seem to get away with it in Pittsburgh, but Burfict, he doesn't. And yeah, I think he probably would have been, I guess, executed for some of the shit that they got away with in Cleveland today. So
Burfict was sorely missed in the Bengals game today too.
Oh, I mean,
you could really tell that the defense was a lot slower without him out there. Not to go back to Bengals coverage, but
right.
Yeah.
But one of the funny things that came out during this Brown Steelers game was after the Steelers victory, Ben Roethlisberger is now the winningest quarterback in Brown Stadium. So he has more victories in the Brown Stadium than any Browns QB since they came back in 1999.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I hate the guy, but that is a hilarious stat that he's won more games than any Browns quarterback.
But he's still 0-1 in fights.
Yeah, that is, his fighting style leaves a little bit to be desired there.
Yeah, that was the equivalent. See of the little brother that just lays on the ground and just kicks up at you.
So if you guys haven't seen this play, I recommend you look it up on Twitter. But after he kind of gets shoved to the ground, I don't know what type of play it is.
I don't know if it was an interception or a turnover or something. It looked like it was a change of possession, but I don't know if he threw a pick or if it was a fumble or what.
I think it had to have been some kind of turnover, because if it wasn't, then that defensive lineman should have gotten roughing the passer, because he does just kind of push him straight to the ground.
So Ben gets pushed to the ground, and then he kind of grabs the defensive lineman's ankle and just starts turning like as hard as he can to try and get the defensive lineman to the ground. And I mean, it just like it looked like the biggest bitch move I've ever seen.
It was.
Yeah,
it was the biggest bitch move ever. And
the defensive lineman didn't look too much better in it, though, because after Roethlisberger takes him down, he kind of pulls the throws his hands up in the air and looks at the ref like, oh, come on, look what he did to me. Like,
yeah.
You just got tackled by quarterback. Shut up.
Well, yeah, so I don't think you're going to see Big Ben in the octagon anytime soon, especially with those plus, his fat ass would never make weight for any of those classes that they could fight in. It's not
old
days.
He's not fat. He just wears that rib protector. It makes him look thick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
He's got a rib protector on his face?
Well, in what seems like a yearly tradition, Kevin White, Chicago Bears wide receiver, is done for the season with an injury. He broke his collarbone today. The poor guy, he's always getting hurt. It's one of the running jokes.
The third straight year that he's had a season-ending injury. Yep.
And it's been one of the running jokes with Big Cat over at Barstool that every single year the Bears have an extra first-round pick because Kevin White has never played a full season as the first-round pick.
This is like his debut.
Yeah, you know? He's had so many rookie seasons. So he's going to be rookie of the year at age 27.
So I think he's had what I was reading about his injuries was, so this is a collarbone. He broke it, and he's likely going to have surgery to repair it. And then he broke his tibia and had to have like a steel rod inserted. And then like the following year, he broke it again.
Ouch.
Something in the same leg. So, I mean, it's not, you know, those are pretty bad injuries to have when you're a wide receiver and you count on your speed. The collarbone isn't a big deal. So, this makes two of the Bears' wideouts that are down for the season. The other one being Cameron Meredith, who was supposed to be their number one. He tore his ACL in the preseason.
Right.
And this is, I mean, the Bears weren't supposed to be good this year, so it's not like it's a big deal, but with Trubisky supposedly going to be the guy that takes over next year, assuming Glennon doesn't stay with the Bears too long, he's it's kind of a bad news for Glennon because he won't have top targets to throw to all year.
Yeah, and I thought we'd see Mitch the Bitch earlier than just next season. I thought that we would get to see him a lot this year when they were struggling. But if I'm the Bears, and I know that, I don't know what their front office is like, if they typically manage their assets very well, if they're kind of just go with the flow and do stupid shit like some of the other organizations we've seen. Bengals. if they
bless you.
Thank you. I would not let Trubisky play all season and do what they did with Carson in Cincinnati. You don't want to kill his confidence with a rookie season with no weapons. You don't want to ruin any chance of him being your guy, which you drafted him to be, just because two of your top wide receivers got hurt before he could get a chance to get the offense in.
And when's the last time you've really seen that, where a team has drafted a guy that they know is going to be their quarterback of the future, and they know he's probably better talent-wise than what they currently have in there, but they leave him out for that first year just to let him kind of get that, you know, that seasoning in there? Because
the Bengals have been doing that with McCarron for like 4 years.
That's true. What the hell am I thinking? No kidding.
Jameis and Mariota both got thrown to the wolves in the same early seasons. Blake Bortles, unfortunately, has been thrown to the wolves.
Yeah.
Probably for the worse.
And my gut reaction when you were saying that was Rodgers, but you had Favre and you didn't, and you knew that he was the future, but it wasn't because he was better than Favre.
Right.
It was just because Favre was 63 years old at that point, I think.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and that's the other one that came to mind for me, too. But, yeah, it was a little bit of a different situation. They kind of had the luxury where they didn't have to throw him out there.
I can't think of it.
Did Andrew Luck stay any time behind Peyton, or was he the first pick when they were bad?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And then I guess that was the same way with Goff. Did Goff sit out the first full year? Or did he go? I feel like Goff.
I think he played some.
I thought he played.
I thought for some reason Goff was one of those guys they were going to do that with.
So we got a little derailed there with quarterback talk, but the Bears actually stayed in it with the Falcons for most of the game.
Yeah. And they had a shot to win it, and then they petered out right then in the red zone. It ended up with an Atlanta sack to win the game. It would have screwed up my picks, but I would have enjoyed to see that, and it would have furthered my proclamation from last week where I mentioned that the Super Bowl runner-up typically regresses. It's not anything new. I just brought it.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons of not putting them back into the NFC Championship game. But I think that we saw that with Atlanta today, and I don't know if it was a one-off thing or if we're actually going to see this as a trend with Atlanta.
Yeah.
But they didn't look like the team that went to the Super Bowl last year.
No.
They look like the team that finished the Super Bowl last year.
So we're recording this on Sunday night, and right now the Cowboys are beating the Giants 16-3 in the fourth quarter. But Zeke is playing, and it looks like he's going to be playing all season.
Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of going in and expected him to be playing in this game because he had appealed his suspension, and based on the ruling of, or the timing of the ruling for that appeal, it was basically too late for it to take effect this week. We kind of already talked about that, but now it sounds like there's a chance that he could play the entire year. The district court, U.S. District Court in Texas, I guess, granted a preliminary injunction from the NFLPA. Yep. I don't know what that means, but but basically, I guess the reasoning was they decided that Zeke did not get a fair appeal process, and so he's entitled to that, and so now they're, I guess, also actually reviewing the petition that the NFLPA filed to have them actually void that suspension. So I think this
is moving up the chain.
Yeah, this is going to be like a long and drawn out legal process.
As dumb as it
fucking sounds. It's going to be another Brady situation.
Yeah, it's exactly like the Brady situation. So who knows when we're actually going to get a resolution to this, but all the while this is playing out in court means that Zeke can play for the Cowboys. So he may be there the entire year this year, which now I'm feeling pretty good about my proclamation last week where I said Zeke playing all 16 games is more likely to happen than the Jets winning the Super Bowl.
No kidding.
I was talking to our resident Cowboy expert and fan, Bone, the other day on Friday night, talking about the appeal process and how he was given the opportunity to play for the time being. And he expressed the same concerns that I would have had if I'm a Cowboys fan, is I'm afraid that this is going to get resolved later in the season.
Right.
Be upheld and essentially maybe being missing weeks 10 through 16.
or even worse, that, like that in could the really playoffs, hurt
the Cowboys.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I think that if you're a Cowboy fan, you have to hope that this drags out into the off season. Best case scenario, you lose a couple games next year. I don't think they're going to go this far and not have a single game suspension.
No.
I mean, the NFL's never going to let that happen, regardless of what the courts do. They'll find something else to suspend him for, as we're seeing with Josh Brown.
Yeah. I was going to say, the longer this plays out, the more likely it is that Zeke is going to do something fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, Mac, you had mentioned Josh Brown. That was the most absurd thing ever. So the NFL came out and added an additional 6-game suspension on Josh Brown for his domestic violence situation.
Yeah.
Josh Brown's not even in the league right now, and right. I doubt he ever is again, just because no team's going to take that kind of chance for a kicker, especially now a kicker who once they sign him is going to have to sit out for 6 games. What's the point? Right. So I think Josh Brown's probably done for his career. And really it seems like this whole thing was just the NFL trying to like make themselves look more consistent by saying, look, we suspended Josh.
We found more information.
Yeah. Well, that's what they said. They found what the hell more information? There more information.
He admitted to what he was accused of. Like there, what more information could there really be?
But yeah, there's no way that this isn't a reaction to the whole Zeke situation. And it's, I think the NFL trying to make themselves look better, I guess, by saying, look, we're handling the Josh Brown situation the same way we're handling Zeke, but it makes it seem more just random and sporadic. They're just tossing suspensions around left and right, even to people that aren't in the league anymore. It's ridiculous.
And essentially, Whitty, you touched on it. No one's going to want to sign a kicker that's going to have to serve a 6-week suspension before they can even kick for you, because a lot of guys that get signed off the street are because of an injury or a kicker that needed to be cut anyway.
Hey, Nugent's still out there if anyone needs one.
So it's essentially the show clause like you see in college football, which I still don't understand 100% how that works, because I guess Chip Kelly can go back to college now if he wanted to, right?
I don't know, because...
Or does he get signed and then have to wait 4 years?
That's
or
how whatever it is. I'm pretty sure that's what it was with Tressel, because he had that show cause thing as well.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, and that's confusing, and it's just the NCAA is just as bad as the NFL as far as their willy-nilly suspensions and sanctions, so... I guess this Zeke will be a week-by-week thing. I'm sure every week we're going to get an update on where the appeal process is and where they're at as far as is he going to play or not. I hope for the sake of just not having to hear about it that it just gets put on the back burner until the offseason, and then if he misses any time at all, he misses, 4 games next season or 6 games.
Most of what I've seen is that he'll likely be playing all the games this year and that it won't be resolved until the offseason. But yeah. I think that's because his lawyers are just going to push for, just keep pushing putting it off.
And as the season progresses, that's what they're going to have to do, because they can't risk him getting suspended in a crucial part of the season if they're in the playoff hunt, or like most people think they will be in the playoffs. They don't want all of a sudden their running back to be... unable to be used.
So one thing I'd be curious to see, I kind of thought about this once they announced this whole injunction that he's basically free to go until it gets resolved. If he gets hurt playing, but like, it doesn't like come out like, or he was obviously hurt, can they
drop that appeal?
Yeah,
let's just
serve my 6-game suspension now. And
I thought about that too.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if something like that happened and how that would play out. Like, I feel like
as on top of everything as they are, I can't imagine that the NFL lets that get by them.
They let the Brady concussion get by them.
That's true.
Ooh.
How do you investigate a concussion that was never reported and then say nothing was found to prove that he had a concussion? That was the fucking point the whole time. There was nothing to prove he had a concussion.
Right.
Because he lied about not having a concussion.
Right.
It's not like although it would have been awesome if the team had been caught covering that whole thing up, because that would have been more and more of this whole Boston cheating stuff. But
not to get further off the rails with the Boston cheating thing, but I saw somebody on Twitter, It was a screenshot of the New York Post or New York Times, one of the New York newspapers. It showed the baseball standings or whatever, and had an asterisk next to the Red Sox in first place. And underneath for the asterisk, it said caught stealing.
That's good. Well, right now they're playing, as we're recording this, we're also watching Zeke play in Jerry's World, where they just pack it in every single week, and I don't even know what the capacity is. It's close to 100,000 people there. I don't know if that's what it is for full NFL games.
Yeah.
I know it's got the potential to go that high, but I don't know if
that's
they do
what it
that
was for some of the NCAA basketball games that have been staged there, because it's such a smaller venue.
Yeah.
Like, it's a smaller court, so you can pack more seats in around on the field.
Mm-hmm. One place where it's not hard to find a ticket recently is the Coliseum in LA. The Rams played there today, and it looked pathetic. It looked like when a high school team plays at a college venue, and they're just the parents and a couple of the kids from school show up. I mean, it wasn't quite that bad, but it was pretty sparse throughout the stands. There was a lot of empty sections.
And this is kind of how LA is as a sports town. Being a Lakers fan, you know, you kind of hear that about the down seasons for the Lakers. You know, people just don't go to the games. It's because they don't care. Mm-hmm. So if the Rams aren't going to put a quality team on the field, they're not going to get people to show up to the stadium.
Right.
And they ended up pulling out a victory today, but they... You know, if they're not good for a longer period of time, people aren't going to show up.
They actually dominated today, though. That was what was the final? Yeah, 46-7.
Yeah,
oh, shit.
They did. They did run it all over them, and that's
Gurley finally looked like the person that he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's what I was going to say. And it's a shame that they can't get rid of the gold trim on the jerseys, because I like those white horns on the blue helmets, just because of the old school feel to it.
Yeah. So I prefer that bright yellow with the, instead of the white there, but.
Well, yeah, I'm not take a fan that of the, over the gold.
The gold. Yeah.
But yeah, that, we saw one place reported $4 tickets were available. I saw $6 somewhere. So they literally could not give the tickets away. Yeah. It was,
and I can't imagine when they start sharing a stadium with the Chargers that, you know, it's going to be a much larger venue, I'd assume.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that the Chargers are going to have the exact same problem.
And the Chargers are playing their games right now in a soccer stadium, correct?
Yeah, it holds like 40,000, I think.
Yeah, so that's a good move on their part. Go with a lower capacity. That way, when you only have 20,000 people show up, it still looks a lot more full than when you've got a like an 80,000 capacity stadium.
But yeah, they're playing at whatever that stadium is. I think it's I don't even know if it's what the LA Galaxy is.
I assumed it was when I heard it was a soccer stadium, but I guess I didn't know for sure.
Which ironically, isn't it called like StubHub Field or something like that?
Is it?
I think it's something like that. But
so
now I was talking soccer.
Do we have to call it the pitch when LA's playing, when the Chargers are playing, or can it be a football
I think
field?
So.
Yeah, no, it's the pitch. I like that.
I don't know, but and some of my favorite kits are those powder blue jerseys that they have with the helmets.
Oh gosh.
So this just goes, you know, even further that LA probably shouldn't have a football team, let alone two.
No, it's ridiculous that they have one to begin with. And like you said, they've already lost interest in the one team that has been there for, this is now their second year.
Yeah.
The Chargers will probably just have that natural fan base built in because of Southern California.
Yeah.
So if anything, they should have probably flipped who's playing in the larger stadium and who's playing in the soccer stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm sure that was an agreement that was in place long before the Chargers decided to move on down to LA.
Yeah. I think if the Rams really want to start packing the stadium, though, they need Jared Goff's dad to come out there and tell everyone how he's the greatest quarterback ever. Maybe kind of start his own shoe brand and just make it a spectacle, and that'll start packing the stadium.
What they could do at halftime is just have Lonzo Ball rap.
Ooh, there you go.
Ooh, I like that.
That might empty the stadium.
Yeah. recently, Lonzo put out a video of his first rap song. And it's about it's called the Mellow One, which is going to be what his brother, his younger brother's shoe is. So he kind of, he put out a rap song to hype the release of his brother's shoe. And I, you know, I listened to it once or twice, and it's not, you know, it's not like an impressive rap song by any means, but he didn't make himself sound like an idiot on the track.
No, it just kind of seems like another just kind of bland average rap song.
Yeah. Nothing real special about it. Yeah, no. Lonzo always makes the news with, you know, the dumb shit that he does. And maybe that's why he last week called, you know, took some shots at other rappers saying that they're not real hip hop. And then he goes and does his own thing.
Yeah, he's trying to pave the way for himself.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Nas to just release like a diss track and just ether him.
Ooh.
Like Nas did the Jay-Z.
I think they're setting it up for a Lonzo Ball featuring Nas.
Ooh. That would be good, too.
Yeah.
I just hope he doesn't get caught in an East Coast, West Coast thing and get shot.
by, like, a Celtics fan?
Well, with the beginning of football season, we've decided to move the fantasy draft to once a week on Thursday. So if that's a segment that you like, be sure to tune in on Thursdays for those. We figured we would mix in some would you rathers in the time being if we found anything fit. And because of Lonzo's exploration of the rap game, we decided to do a would you rather based on that scenario. So gentlemen, would you rather be an athlete that embarrasses themselves on a musical experiment? I guess like in this case, it was rap. Could be anything, really. Or would you rather be a musician that has an embarrassing showing in an athletic competition? I'm thinking something like when they do the celebrity all-star game type of things.
So if I'm going first, I will just go ahead and say that I'd probably rather be the athlete that explores the music industry. This happens almost every year where you hear about someone coming out with a song, whether it be rap or other. But, I mean, there's plenty of NBA players that have come out with songs that aren't great but aren't, you know, embarrassing. The one embarrassing one that I will throw out there, you guys may not even remember this, and I only remember it because of who he is, but Kobe, back in the day, released some rap songs that were just absolutely atrocious.
I don't know if I remember that.
Yeah, he was only like 19. It was like his second or third year in the league.
Yeah.
But he released some songs with Tyra Banks.
Really?
And ooh, they were just nice. God awful. Yeah.
So, better rapper, Kobe or Shaq?
Shaq. And Shaq is a garbage rapper.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So, I feel like I would probably rather be the, you know, the athlete that wanders unknowingly into the music industry than the other way around.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And I feel like mostly because there's a much worse, I guess, stigma that comes with being bad at sports than there is with being bad at any kind of, you know, musical genre. Like if I'm bad at, you know, singing, so what? Like that's not that big a deal. But I feel
everyone's
like
bad at singing.
Yeah, I feel like with the, and I think it's more of a cultural thing than anything else. You know, if you're bad at sports, you go out there and you have just a poor showing as an athlete, you know, people start to question, like, are you manly or anything like that, which I guess is kind of ridiculous, but that's kind of the world we live in. But
yeah, that guy's a f- Yeah.
The one thing I'll say, kind of going back to my response, is while I feel like it's more embarrassing to be bad at sports, I feel like being bad at music, if you put like a bad song out there, that stays with you for longer. Because unless you're just absolutely terrible, like I guess what comes to mind is 50 Cent throwing out his first pitch.
Oh, man.
Like that, obviously, that gets brought up anytime anyone else has a bad, you know, first pitch. But, I know... like Mac alluded to, you know, you get those celebrity all-star games and there are people that go out there and just look terrible, but you know, I couldn't name one right now just because, you know, it kind of just gets lost and people don't think about it and it doesn't really ever come up again. But, like I said, with a bad, like rap song, you throw that out there, that, I think, comes up more frequently, so it could haunt you for longer. And again, it may not be that big of a deal if it sticks with you. It could almost be sort of a source of pride once you kind of get over that initial embarrassment. But I guess that would be the one downside to going the other route with it. Luckily, I'm great at both, so it doesn't matter.
Well, gentlemen, we've got to start finding better would you rathers that we're going to disagree on and spark some debate, because I would go the same route as both of you. I'd rather be the athlete that puts out an embarrassing... I don't know if I'd rap. I don't know what I would be. My hands are sore right now just thinking about trying to play the guitar.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to think about that. But if somebody was like, wow, that song that you put out was really bad, I'd be like, well, fuck you. I made $80 million playing whatever sport I'm playing. So
women's basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. I made $60,000 last year playing in the WNBA. So fuck you, buddy. No. But yeah, I agree that putting something on the internet that could be very embarrassing and used against you for a long time would suck. But I just can't, and you wouldn't know this by looking at me now, but I can't fathom the idea of being so unathletic that it's embarrassing. Like I don't want to be that person.
Right.
I'm afraid if I tried to play a sport right now, like if I went out and played pickup basketball, I might look like that person.
Yeah.
My low post game might still be good because I could throw. I mean, you don't lose height. I mean, I feel shorter because I'm fatter, but I could still probably.
Hey, you can still spin that pigskin, so don't let her hate on you.
I'm good for 3 or 4 bombs, and then my shoulder's going to just fall apart. So, yeah. But, yeah, that embrace debate on all of us wanting to be better athletes than musicians.
All right, everybody. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/MillIronSports. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, @MillIronSports, and you'll see all of our individual Twitter handles in our bio. Thanks for listening.
We have just a little programming note. We have a very, very, very exciting fantasy draft for you coming up on Thursday. But if you have any ideas of something you might want to hear, tell us so we can do it, because we don't have anything.
Good night.
See you guys Thursday.
Mellow ball one, youngest in the game, only 16 in the lamb, and he's switching lanes. Got the Gucci shades, MB1s inside the black paint. Headed to the top, smash the gas and accelerate.
MB1s on, y'all ain't ready, y'all ain't ready. Youngest in the game, coming heavy, ay, ay. I'ma win it all, I won't ever lose. Watch me kill them off when I drop my shoes, yeah. Triple B's in this thing, don't get bought up in this thing, no. Triple B's in this thing, we gon' ball out in this thing, y'all.